Chapter 2. Augusto Zidorov crept along the metal walkway, keeping his body low, his Tsarina auto pistol held out straight ahead of him. Sweat pricked under his flak jacket. It was hot. It was dark. All things considered, he really didn't want to be there.
How close? He breathed into the comm.
Brecht took a while to answer.
Back up incoming. 10 minutes.
Too long. Zidorov blinked an enhancement to his augmetic iris's visual filters. The view ahead shifted fractionally, from dirt black to near dirt black. The walkway was elevated, threaded through and around huge machines. He could feel the power terminal's heat converters working underfoot, the filtration unit straining overhead. High up in the gantries and the pipework, amid the rust and the stench of oils, the valves and the processor coils, there were just too many places to hide, too many places to die. Every other corner had a burst seal pushing steam into your face or a clattering heat vent making your eyes water. He clutched the grip of his pistol, narrowed his eyes, kept moving.
I don't have a fix on you, Zidorov said.
I've got one on you, Brecht replied. I'm coming your way.
Hurry up, then.
Brecht didn't move fast often. Zidorov hoped he would this time. It was the least he could do in the circumstances. He reached an intersection. The walkway branched into two, one left, one right. Below him, glimpsed through the thin metal grid, he could see ironwork devices belch and grind. Beyond that was a rat's paradise of tubes and conduits. A few lumens blinked down there, tiny red points amid hissing clots of darkness. Something moved, and he whirled to face it, just a spinner valve discharging. Zidorov felt his heart beating quickly. He was breathing too hard. This was sanctioner's work. They had the armour, the weapons. He had his sidearm, basic flak cover, a probator's hollow seal. That counted for something, a lot of the time. Right now it felt like not much worth having. He checked his iris. The subdermal ocular implant, a combined data veil link and tactical retinal display, cycled and clicked, giving him an updated estimate of the target's trajectory. It was based on heat patterns only, and down here they weren't exactly reliable. By rights, he shouldn't even have been there. He'd responded to the call from Brecht, whose case this was as a favour. They both should have waited for a sanctioner squad, but Brecht didn't want to lose the target. That decision felt like a bad one. Almost as bad as splitting up, trying to cover the exits before realising just how many of them there were in a huge place like this. He took the right turn, edging along the fragile railing, ignoring the long drop on either side. Up ahead he could see a bulkhead with a rusted cog and skull etched on it. Beyond that was a heavy iron hatch plate with a misted-up viewport. The hatch was open, and a faint light bled through the gap.
I think I've got him, Zidorov breathed. How close?
One level up. Believe me, I'm running.
Zidorov crouched down, edging carefully towards the door. He could hear something from the far side, more than one pair of boots. Brecht's quarry was close now. Yuri Glav, a mid-league gunrunner, an unstable narc user who'd eaten up the sparse goodwill of both the enforcers and his customers, and whose productive career in Yurgeina one way or another was coming to an end. Clearly, he still had a few people willing to work with him. Zidorov heard another hatch clang open. The faint light flickered out, and he heard bootfalls running down an enclosed corridor. They were making a break for it, trying to reach the far side of the machine chambers, get to a mag train or a ground transport. He shuffled forward, shouldered the hatch open, and swung into the chamber beyond, tracking with his auto pistol. The cramped space was empty, but the portal on the far side was open. Zidorov ran for it, ducking down as he plunged into the corridor beyond. The lumens were strobing in there, and it all smelt like burnt metal. He could hear clear movement up ahead now, echoing down the shafts. They were running, going for broke. He ran after them, ducking through another hatch before breaking out again. A big chamber opened up, its far end exposed to the night air and whistling with gusts of hot, dusty wind. Lines of struts marched along on either side, holding up a cross-hatched roof of heavy girders and pipework. Tracked loader vehicles stood in their berths. The deck was high up, and the exposed vantage revealed the distant outline of massive cooling towers, backlit by flares from the gas nozzles. Everything smelt of ash, dust, and chems. At the chamber's far end, a fuel tanker waited in a loading bay, cab doors open and engines already gunning, poised to trundle off down a long ramp towards an elevated viaduct. A transit servitor, its back broken, lay in a pile by the wheels. Glav, a scrawny man dressed in a loose red jerkin, had already jumped down from the footplate to unscrew the tanker's fuel line. Two more figures, big bodyguards, torsos bulked with stims, one carrying a cracking electromaul, the other a short-barreled shotgun, lumbered towards Zidorov. The shotgun cracked out, and Zidorov scrambled for cover. He skidded behind the heavy body of a goods lifter, wrenching his shoulder against a jutting door handle, hearing the bullets ping and clang from the steel. He swiveled back to his knees, shoved the Tsarina through a gap in the lifter's segmented tracks, and fired back. Four rounds went straight into the shooter's chest, puffing out plumes of blood as the man jerked and reeled. Zidorov jumped to his feet as the second bodyguard rushed him, swinging the maul in heavy lunges. More shots hit, winging him in the shoulder, then knocking him back, sending the maul bouncing over the lattice floor. Zidorov slid fully out of cover, trying to draw a bead on Glav. By then, the skinny gunrunner had disconnected the fuel line, spraying promethium all across the deck, and was sprinting back to the cab. Zidorov shot twice, sending both rounds wide and kicking sparks along the tanker's hold.
"Probator Bastion, you!" he roared. "Stand down, citizen!"
Glav leapt for the cab, getting one boot back on the footplate. Zidorov fired again, hitting him in the back. Instead of a wet impact, though, the bullet tinged off a hard armour piece hidden under the jerkin. Glav staggered forward, missing his handhold and tumbling to the floor. As he did so, he managed to squirm round, bringing his own gun to bear. For a hideous split second, Zidorov saw it aimed squarely at him. Then Glav's head exploded in a mist of red, followed immediately by the report of another gun firing. The gunrunner's body slumped to the deck, twitched, then didn't move again. Brecht edged out of the open access hatch, his auto-pistol held two-handed, a look of studied concentration on his face. Zidorov exhaled.
"Holy throne," he swore. "He really did run."
The tanker's engine was still growling. The discarded fuel line was still pumping, swilling the deck with liquid promethium. Breck stowed his weapon, splashed over to the valve and wrenched it closed. He was panting hard, his jowly cheeks flushed. He was a big man, dark-skinned, with a receding hairline and a frame that was a fair bit more substantial than it had been when he joined the Enforcers. The flak jacket made him look even bulkier. Zidorov wasn't much better off. His heart was still hammering. A pool of sweat had collected at the small of his back. He looked down at the trio of corpses. The bodyguards were just hired muscle, but Glav knew some things. It would have been better to bring him in. Still, it was Breck's case, and he'd been the one to end it. He climbed up to the tanker's cab, reached for the controls and stilled the engine. Then he clambered down, getting his breathing under control, and looked over at his fellow probator.
"Worth the trouble?" he asked.
Breck nodded, covered in sweat. He was looking down at Glav's body.
"Guess so. One more out of commission. I thought you wanted to take him in."
"I did, but he was going to shoot you."
"I don't think he'd have hit me."
"No, he was good. He'd have shot you."
Zidorov holstered his pistol.
"Thanks then, I guess. My pleasure."
In the distance, Zidorov heard the thud-thud of a Zurov turbine gunship coming in. That would be carrying a hastily scrambled sanctioner squad from a response garrison. Six hardened troopers stuffed with Noctis gear, blind grenades, auto guns, matte black body armour, all expecting to have a live target to go after.
"They're going to be angry, aren't they?" Zidorov said.
"Yes, they are."
"Then I guess I can leave you to talk it over."
"I guess you can."
Zidorov started to walk away.
"Listen, though, thanks," Breck called after him. "I owe you."
"I'll hold you to it."
"Any time."
"Yeah, sooner than you think."
He reached up for his shoulder, sore from where he'd wrenched it.
"Right now, I'm going home."
A few hours later, he woke up again. His body ached. He still smelt of chems. It took him a moment or two to realise that he was back in his hab. He reached out, eyes still closed. The thick coverlet slipped down his forearm a little, and he walked with his fingers searching. Milija stirred, shuffling deeper into the mattress.
"Go to the hells," she murmured.
He opened his eyes, his hand round her forearm. It was still dark. A little grey light bled around the window frame where the shutters didn't quite touch the sill. The chrono by the bed glowed with a red semi-dormant lumen bead.
"Morning," he said.
She grunted, half lost in sleep, and shook his hand from her arm.
"Where were you last night?"
"Work."
"Of course."
He watched her for a little while, blinking his own sleep away. Then he drew a breath and smelt the dorm chamber, rough synthwool blankets, fresh polish on the rock-reaped floor, the sweat of the night. Home. He shuffled down the bed, pushing the blankets off, making the frame shake. Malija turned over, nuzzling into a bolster, her brown hair falling over her face. Zidorov swung his legs over the foot, grabbed a robe from its peg on the wall, and pulled the plasweave fabric around his night tunic. He stood, then padded heavily from the chamber and into the hallway beyond, closing the door behind him carefully. It was still quiet. The ground traffic outside made the air thrum, just as it did at all hours, night and day, but you zoned that out after a while. He walked down a narrow hallway, passing pics of Malija and Naxi stuck against flaking plaster walls. They needed to repaint those walls. They hadn't been done since they'd been assigned the HAB unit and moved in years ago, just after Naxi had been born. Just needed to find the time. He reached the refect chamber and flicked a lumen on with a finger gesture. The sodium tubes flickered into life, exposing battered food prep surfaces, a row of storage boxes, a plastic table with four stools. He activated the caffeine box and it gurgled and clattered. He opened a store and pulled out two carb bars. One was plain, the other flavoured with fructose syrup. He put both in the heater and flicked the timer for 10 seconds. He retrieved a mug of hot caffeine from the box, took out a plate and placed the carb bars on it. He went over to the table and sat down on one of the stools. He took a sip of caffeine, slurping against the heat. He'd activated the vid projector set into the far wall, the one that he'd installed himself, and one that only worked half the time, and that Malija kept asking him to replace. Its old-style curved lens shimmered jerkily into life, casting a white-yellow light over the dark room.
Sub-District Commissioner for Hygiene Ertal Vom, visiting District Facility U56 yesterday, congratulates the workers on their improved output during the up-season. She observes that this shows the benefit of recent revisions to the quota targets and underlines the wisdom of
Sub-District Commissioner for Hygiene, Ertal Vom, look well fed. Zidorov watched her waddle down the production lines, her outline blurry on the phosphor bead screen. So, output at the manufactoria was up again, always seemed to be going up, year on year. A miracle of efficiency there must be by now. Zidorov let the projector prattle on and chewed his carb bars. The caffeine was treacly like unrefined promethium. He felt it slip warmly through his body, jerking it awake. The carb bars were good. Good enough. As long as he didn't think too closely on how they were made. He stretched, rolling his shoulders in turn, trying to loosen muscles that never seemed to properly unclench. The old scar across his chest pulled a little. Always a reminder, a twitch or a tweak to let him know it was still there. The vid feed moved on to a review of commodities output from the major ports. Those were going up too, despite all he'd heard about the interstellar trade volume being moribund for months. Brecht had told him a few months back he'd seen classified Navy material talking of a major rupture in the warp lanes, something that had got even sector commands scrambling to respond. But then Brecht, for all his undoubted sharpness in many ways, had always been a little too fond of believing in conspiracies. He hadn't mentioned it again. Maybe he'd made it up. Zidorov finished his caffeine, then went back to the unit to make a cup for Malija. He'd leave it for her on the hot plate, as usual, for when she woke up. Then it was time to link his iris to the data veil. He activated the line threaded under his cheekbone and felt the itch as it filled up with stored content. He reviewed it piece by piece, blinking each update away in turn. The runes hovered briefly in front of him, projected in lurid green as if thrown out by a lithcaster. Though the entire thing was internal, fed direct to the image lattice scored across the back of his eyeball. Most of it was routine, Von Geller siphoning stuff down to the probators. Things she didn't want to handle herself or refer up to command. It would all be noted and referenced, and when time allowed, something might be done. One entry caught his attention. 456AA78X. Incident record. Udmil Tereshova. Tereshova Combine. File detail PJV. The P code suffix indicated that a probator was required to attend. The named subject hadn't been brought to the precinct, so that meant an outside visit. Sidorov scrolled past it. This was one he'd happily passed to Brecht, just to pay him back. Castellan Directive, Zidorov, A, assigned. His heart sank. Damn. He stowed the remainder of the comm feed in his Iris's storage. It would have to wait. He got up, put a carb bar in the heater on low power for Malija, and headed for the hygiene chamber. The pulse shower worked on the first attempt, which was a bonus. He washed the chem filth off, shaved, gargled with antisep, checked the red lines under his eyes. He looked into the blotchy mirror and saw a heavy-set man looking back at him. Early 40s, short dark hair, sallow complexion. The scar on his chest was livid under the single white lumen. His stomach wasn't quite as slab solid as it had been even a couple of years ago. It had got bigger, too. He padded down the hall and into the second dorm chamber. That had once been Naxi's room, and still had her old hard-copy pics pinned to the walls, Defence Force recruitment posters, most with the chiselled features of young male recruits looking steely and determined in press-dress uniforms. A few report cards from her old scolum lay on the bedside table in a clear plasfilm file, plus a handwritten letter from a classmate. On the far wall, looking incongruous amid all that, was a dark metal strongbox. Next to it was a rack holding flak vests in a row. Beyond that was a wardrobe alcove containing civilian clothes, jackets, boots, a dark brown half-length synth leather coat. It always seemed a shame to keep all his gear in there, mixed up with Naxi's old things, but it cleared some space in the main dorm chamber, and even a probator's stipend didn't stretch to a 3-dorm unit in a decent residential habclave. He punched the access code into the strongbox and withdrew the Tsarina again. He checked it over, then got dressed, clipping the flak panels closed under his open-neck shirt and jerkin. He reached for his jaw snapper, a brushed steel knuckle duster with an impact-reactive kinetic field, and stowed it. He pulled on his coat and holstered his pistol. It was still dark outside. It would be dark for another hour or so until the red sun rose. He thought of Malija sleeping still, grabbing an hour of rest before her own duties took her off into the city. I could sleep, he thought. I could stay here with her and sleep. But then he was out of the Hab's front door, into the internal corridor where dozens of other identical doors remained locked shut, just like every other one of them on every other level. He headed for the elevator shafts, his stomach grumbling, muscles aching, scar tissue itching.